Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful meal we've enjoyed, the fellowship around the table, a Lord's Day to set aside to worship and to fellowship. And Father, in particular, help us to see your perspective on history and the future and on our lives. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold on a second. I'm going to get rid of this. We're continuing our study with point six, and you've got the outline that was in the bulletin today. You notice there's no room, of course, for taking notes. There are 17 points. Don't panic. They're not all as long. But Babylon is very much a part. If you read the scripture, especially the book of Revelation, but also Old Testament prophets, you'll see Babylon is very much a part of the end time events, especially chapters 17 and 18. Some would have looked at that in the past and said that's referring to only spiritual and economic Babylon. I think it's actually referring to Babylon, which, of course, Babylon is in modern-day Iraq, which, of course, is in the news a lot in, you know, since the beginning of the year. And by the way, a disclaimer, the news that I've been using is as recent as, you know, yesterday. So it is possible that some of these news actually come from the later year. So we're looking at point six, Babylon, and the news. Iraq is in the news with do I need to wait? It's okay. Iraq is in the news with growing cooperation with Iran and the tensions related to the U.S. killing of Qasem Soleimani, the leader of Iran's paramilitary Quds Force. So a lot in the news lately, talking about Iraq. Trump threatens Iraq with sanctions if U.S. troops are expelled. The Iraqi parliament has expressed and begun the process of talking about a law that would expel all foreign troops. You know, ostensibly, that would include Iranian troops, but specifically and intentionally, it would expel American troops. And President Trump's response to that is, you know, they have that legal, if you will, authority, but he says, if you do, we have problems with that. We've spent billions of dollars building a huge airfield, other resources. So he's talking about some kind of reparations, some possible sanctions. So anyway, but Iraq is in the news, and that was one of the events. Of course, the killing of Soleimani was a huge event, and that happened in Baghdad, you know, at the airport near Baghdad, which is very close to the ancient city of Babylon. And so, again, all that is to say that that part of the world is the center of the news. I mean, you know, if you listen to Middle Eastern news, British news, American news, news all over the world is talking about, you know, that very part of the world and as a center of a potential. And a lot of people are saying, could this be the spark that begins a World War III? Major wars have started for a lot less. Also, I mentioned in here that Iraq's, the ancient city of Babylon, hasn't been designated as a, you know, World Heritage Site. So that, again, just the actual Babylon, there's been some rebuilding efforts for the ancient city, but just to show you that the whole world is interested in preserving that area and interested in it politically. Here is where what the area looks like on the map, and you see Baghdad, which is real close to ancient Babylon, is right there in the middle of it. In Revelation 17 and 18, one of the things you do notice is that there is a religious and moral influence coming out of Babylon or Iraq. And also, it's a center of trade. That isn't going on right now, though their oil and other things have been significant. So Baghdad or Iraq and Babylon have yet to develop, I think. But they're very much in the news. They're not just this forgotten little area, and they apparently are going to rise to influence, especially since it's right on, you know, the Euphrates River. It's very much going to be a commercial region in the end times. Number seven is something we talked about in the Sunday school hour about this invasion from the north, Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Before I do, though, that reminds me, someone asked, where is Union Seminary? And there are at least two Union Seminaries. There's Union Presbyterian Seminary in Virginia and Union Theological Seminary in New York. That's Union Theological Seminary is where they had the plant chapel. That's just, I only know that for sure because I followed down the tweet that a Twitter account and, you know, on the phone before. So thank you for raising that question. So it was the New York one. Anyway, invasion from the north will come in, as mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's going to be this confederacy of a number of nations that I mentioned earlier, and I'll show them on my next slide. I guess I can show that now. It mentions Rosh, which is Russia, Meshach and Tubal always go together in biblical accounts. That and Gomer and Beth Torgamah seem to be in Libya, and that's based on looking at other texts in the scriptures and ancient writings is where we identify some of these things. Put represents Libya, which is further to the west of Egypt. Persia, of course, is Iran. And Cush is the region south of Egypt, which would be sometimes called Ethiopia in the Bible, but what we would call Sudan. So those nations will gather together in a confederacy to attack attack Israel. And so again, here we show this in the other study earlier. Those are the nations. We'll join together. And so you think about it, they're surrounded. And that's a lot of forces that will come streaming against Israel. So looking back to the news, China, Iran, and Russia are holding joint naval drills starting Friday. And that article was written December 26, 2019. So here we see China, Iran, Russia, all cooperating. And you've seen, if you followed the news, Russia and Iran are doing a lot of cooperating. Matter of fact, and showing great interest in this area. My second point, a Russian submarine was found near the Israeli coast and quickly left when it was discovered. So here's Russia trying to interject itself in the Middle Eastern affairs, been very active in Syria. Russia and Turkey are trying to be the arbiters of peace in the Middle East. That was an article. Again, these are all headings of articles. There's a picture. I've got that here. Here's the Turkish president, Erdogan, and Vladimir Putin in August of 2019 at the airport near Moscow. So, I mean, these are two major players in the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And here we see them in modern news meeting in Moscow and working on bringing peace to the Middle East. Also, and Iran is very much a part of the relationship with Russia. I thought it was interesting, right after the Soleimani attack on Soleimani, within days there was a report in the news that an American naval ship was being dangerously harassed by a Russian naval ship right in that region. And I think they got within 60 yards. Again, with ships, they don't stop on a dime or turn on. It's very dangerous. I mean, very threatening, very aggressive. Right after, in that very basic part of the world, here's this issue going on with Iran. So there are things going on. So what's interesting for our purposes is thousands of years ago, 2,500 years ago, let's say, for Ezekiel, predicting these very nations would be cooperating together in their animosity towards Israel. And here we see them, some of them with very grievous animosity towards Israel, cooperating together. You can see how a confederacy could form, as described. Point number eight is wars and rumors of wars. You know, Jesus said, you know, you're going to have wars and rumors of wars. he described in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. That was one of the characteristics that would lead up to the time of his return. In what's called the Olivet Discourse, our Lord said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." And the illustration is used of like birth pangs that become more and more frequent and intense as the end draws near. Wars and rumors of wars. Of course, we've had wars throughout ancient U.S. history, but here was a headline. World War III, rapid military escalation occurring between Iran and Israel. This was a column that was written just suggesting this could quickly turn into a world war. If what was interesting is, if you remember, America took the strike against the Quds general. Iran fired back at a couple of our missiles and damaged some property, but didn't hurt anyone. And if you saw the interview with the president, he described what happened. He talked to his advisors and said, "Who was hurt?" And they said, "No one." He said, "No one killed? No one injured?" And they said, "No one. Just some damage done?" "Yes." And he said, "Well, let it go." In other words, he was doing his best to hold off. We don't have to go back and forth. And so he was trying to, he took a necessary action, he felt, but didn't want to continue to accelerate it. And it seems like things are slowing down. Unless while we've been at church today, war has broken out in the Middle East. But all that to say, at any moment, things could have easily accelerated. Syria has been, in another article, Syria threatens to bomb the Ben-Gurion airport. This is in January of 2019. Syria's ambassador to the UN on Tuesday told the world body that his nation, presumably with the help of its Iranian allies, would attack Ben-Gurion airport if Israel didn't stop bombing targets in the war-torn country. Well, as late as within the last day or two, Israel's been bombing targets in Syria. So in other words, over the last year, they continue to attack areas. What they're doing is they're not really attacking Syria. They're attacking Iranian high-tech missile shipments to the Hezbollah terrorists. And Israel's saying, you know, Hezbollah has tens, hundreds of thousands of not-too-advanced missiles. We don't want them getting extremely accurate and powerful missiles. So when Iran ships those to Hezbollah, we're going to go in and take them out. And they've been doing that pretty freely. But Syria says, well, we're going to attack Israel if they keep that up. So, and Iran might cooperate since it's their missiles that are being attacked. But again, that's just showing the hostility in the area. A U.S. admiral in the Middle East warns of growing Iranian threat. Iran continues to, it's a very powerful force in the Middle East, much more powerful, say, than the Saudis. And yet they're growing. They're increasing their weapons development, nuclear development. Iran raises the flag over a messianic mosque, declaring end of days war for the first time ever in Princeton's study of possible nuclear war. Look at this one. So after the attack on Soleimani, this mosque, they raised the red flag, which is the blood of revenge, is what it represents. And this is called the Mosque of the Mahdi. The Mahdi is like the Messiah of Islamic thinking. He's the 12th Imam. He's already come. He's gone into hiding. He's waiting to come back in a time of world conflagration to conquer the world. So this mosque is very sacred and important, and on this mosque they raise the flag of revenge in response. So that's a signal of that's a very dangerous warning signal that happened within the last couple of days. We'll see.
Allahumma ajjal li al-jannah.
Now, Princeton University did a study, kind of a war gaming kind of thing. What would happen? That how could a world conflict develop? And what would happen in a nuclear war? And they set up the scenario. Let's say there's some kind of a non-nuclear conflict going on in Europe between NATO and Russia, and Russia decides to kind of send a local area single nuclear device just to say we mean business, leave us alone. How might that develop? And so they played this out, and what they end up discovering is that in a matter of a few hours, the final tally is 91.5 million casualties, 34.1 million deaths within the first few hours, 57 plus million wounded. All fatality estimates are limited to acute death from nuclear explosion, significantly increased by deaths from fallout. I thought you might just want to watch at least some of this play out. Hopefully you can see this. So again, this is just doing a simulation of how things could happen. Here you see Russia in a mid-time of conflict towards NATO forces, a single nuclear... Well, of course, we can't just ignore that, can we? So the assumption is, so we send back something. So now we cross the nuclear threshold. Fighting escalates to a tactical nuclear war in Europe. Russia sends 300 nuclear warheads via aircraft and missiles to hit NATO bases. NATO responds in kind. So here come the, instead of a single attack, now it's multiple attacks. You can't just ignore a nuclear attack on your site. And with that attack, NATO responds with the blue. All those little white dots, we're talking about millions of people dying. You see a more advanced Russian now, missiles. Something like 300 missiles. So counterforce plan. With Europe destroyed, NATO launches a strategic nuclear strike of 600 warheads from U.S. land and some base missiles aimed at Russia. Before it's just losing its weapon systems, Russia responds. So that's Europe has been wiped out. We're talking in a few hours. Here comes the nuclear response of the United States in support of its ally, NATO. And Russia sees it coming, knows it's going to be destroyed, but before it does, it launches its response, which comes landing in America. So in a matter of a few hours, Europe, Russia, America, 85.3 million casualties over 45 minutes. And then other attacks continue. Well, you get the idea how real the threat of war is. How one action can lead to another, can lead to another. And like I said, when we were attacked in a non-harmful way, he was willing to step back and not say, well, let's escalate. And so we could see where that may not happen. Wars and rumors of wars. Persecution of Christians and God's people is very much a part of the end time events. Matthew 24, Revelation 6, 9. In China, they're closing churches and jailing pastors, and like I said earlier, even rewriting the scriptures. So China is definitely one of the places where churches and Christianity are coming under great pressure. Expelled from China is the story of last missionary John Miller sat in the back row of an unregistered church, worshiping as he had every Sunday morning for the past year and a half. Eight police officers walked in, and he tried to sneak out of the building. They noticed him, arrested him. He's expelled from the country that quickly. surveillance cameras equipped with facial recognition technology and set up along the streets and outside buildings make it hard to hide. Police detained one missionary after they caught on camera the license plate number of a vehicle they had seen going to remote villages where Christian literature had been handed out. They tracked down the plate, spotted the car outside the missionary's house, detained him after finding bags of illegally printed literature inside, and so he's out of the country. So very aggressively seeking to suppress Christianity and exclude missionaries, persecution of Christians, because they don't go along with the party line of the Communist Party and their intentions for China. You may have heard about Karen Pence. She came under great criticism, the Christian school, where the vice president's wife was teaching a part-time art classes. But because that school takes a position that takes a moral, the biblical view of morality and is against homosexuality, Karen Pence came under all kinds of criticism because she did part-time teaching of art in a school that held to a biblical view of marriage. That's the United States. then there's an article of why persecution in China could get worse. It seems like it's getting worse. There's a steadily deteriorating state of religious freedom. And so, just again, things are happening. Then there's an article, Vimeo, which is one of those like YouTube, video publishing websites. They took down a church's account because the church posted material that was critical of homosexuality. Freedom of speech, unless it strays outside of the accepted moral standards. And then it's suppressed and shut down, whether by government or corporate America. Here's an article, The Great New York Chicken Sandwiches That Aren't from Chick-fil-A. I have that. That's an interesting title. You think, what is that all about? That's published, let me see where it was published. It's a review. It's from a place called Grub Street. In other words, it's an article, a foodie article in New York. But the whole point is, of course, New Yorkers don't want to eat at Chick-fil-A because Christians are associated with Chick-fil-A. So here's a place you can find some really good alternative sources of chicken sandwiches. It's interesting, isn't it? When Christians boycotted corporations because of their moral stance, that was considered hateful and it was attacked. But now we see the culture boycotting and suppressing Christians because of moral differences. That's the spirit of a persecution of Christianity that's developing. Chinese citizens, there's a Chinese city paying, here's the headline, paying Christians $1,500 to be a mini Judas and turn in Christians. China's crackdown on Christianity escalated March 20th when the government of the fifth largest city began issuing rewards to those who report, quote, illegal religious activities, including house church meetings. So you start making it profitable to turn in where Christians are. So again, all that to say there's this persecution of Christians that's growing in many ways and in many areas. Here's a church in China. You see all those posters all around? Those are all political statements at the back of the church. Those are not religious or scripture posts. And I remember reading one, they went into one church and there were the Ten Commandments and they said, "You shall have no other God before me." Scratch that. Put in something in there about honoring the leadership of China. And so, you know, just, you know, this persecution, because it's contrary, the Chinese government views it as contrary to their purposes. When if they realized Christians, because of their integrity and character, could be some of the best citizens in China. But they see it as a threat because Christians say there's a higher authority than the government, than the Communist Party. Persecution at a glance is just every month on average, 345 Christians are killed for faith-related reasons. 105 churches and Christian buildings are burned or attacked around the country, around world. 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Every month. You heard about Notre Dame burning, right? And that was just an amazing thing, and everybody felt like we should. They were going to help in remarkable ways. What they didn't mention is that there are many, many other churches that are being burned by arsons. Apparently, Notre Dame, it was a construction worker's mistake. But arson is destroying churches all throughout France, and you hardly ever hear of it. And there's an article that lists several of those situations. Then there's an article on things you should know about global persecution of Christians. There was a Democratic representative, a political party in Pennsylvania. He was a state representative. He himself posted a video of it showing himself chasing and harassing a pro-life protester, calling her an old white lady, and threatening to demonstrate outside her house. He posted this 8-minute video. At the time of the writing, the video had received more than 500 views. So proud of the fact that he was attacking this woman for being pro-life. A political person, you would think that would be death to a political party, but feeling like he can actually boast in the fact that he is so hateful and intolerant towards someone who's pro-life. China is installing surveillance cameras in churches to monitor Christians. This one's kind of interesting. I've mentioned to several that a lot of churches will have security cameras to guard their facilities, looking out, making sure who's coming in and breaking in, that sort of thing. China is installing cameras facing the congregation to see their faces, again, using facial recognition scanning, but surveying who's there and what they're doing. Again, because it's not being a good citizen. It'll lose you points on the social credit system. There was a case where a conference was going to have a speaker come and speak and found out. Let me think where I can find it real quickly. A major national conference for graphic designers and illustrators had disinvited a Christian speaker, apparently, because he serves as a well-known church that affirms the Bible's teaching on sexuality. So here this person was going to speak at a, you know, he was good on graphic arts, going to speak on graphic arts. They found out that he goes to a church that believes the Bible. They took him off the schedule. Not because he was a bad artist, but because they didn't like his personally held religion. Because he went to a church that they didn't approve of the moral standards. By the way, that church is in Texas, getting close to home. China is removing Bible, God, Christ, those words from children classics like Robinson Crusoe. It's removing references to Christ and religion. Instead of the Ten Commandments, churches are now having to post the leaders' quotes in church. So persecution is growing worldwide. It seems like China is a lot in the news, and I suppose that's just because they are so big and powerful. And what's interesting is because of the size and influence of that nation as an economy, you see corporate America bowing before them and cooperating with them. And so that's why I think it's we can't just ignore what's happening there. For one thing, those are our brothers and sisters. But coming to a neighborhood near us is this, are the same ideas. All the technology is developing there, and we see the spirit longing for that coming here. Pestilence. Okay, let's talk about some good news. Pestilence and plague and famine are greatly described. Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount, that pestilence will be devastating. We in our day, and especially in America, we hardly understand the significance of disease to be devastating. But in history, it has wiped out massive percentages of populations. The bubonic plague, what was it? At least a fourth of Europe was decimated. The influenza of 1918, millions died. We forget that, and we take for granted, I'll just take a pill if I get sick. Pestilence is big things. The countries hardest hit by malaria see a rise in cases, and malaria is still a devastating. In 2017, there were an estimated 219 million cases of malaria globally, with around 435,000 deaths. Imagine. It doesn't affect America too much, so we kind of don't pay attention. But it's devastating. So those kinds of things are developing. Governments are being urged to stockpile antibiotics for a future flu pandemic. So they're saying it's just a matter of time before we have another radical shift, change in the makeup of a flu virus, and it could be devastating, like what happened in 1918. Most people don't realize that what kills people during a pandemic, so an epidemic is a lot of disease. Pandemic means it's everywhere. It's worldwide. It's not just the influenza virus that's deadly, but a secondary bacterial infection. And here's a statement. Make no mistake, it's inevitable there will be another flu pandemic. It may happen next year or in the next 15 years, but it's inevitable. We cannot prevent it. So right now we've had a rough flu season, but this is no pandemic. And they're saying it's just a matter of time before a devastating flu hits the world again. And they're telling nations, start stockpiling your antibiotics so you can deal with the secondary pneumonia and other issues that come with it. So there could be, again, and the Bible says there will be devastating times. Here's an interesting thought. Bubonic plague in L.A. homeless and immigration. I've got this other statement. A pandemic could kill up to 80 million people. The world isn't ready, experts say. So disease is real. Where is that? That's Los Angeles. That is Los Angeles in California. Again, this is in the general, if you will, neighborhood, in the general region of a place like Hollywood or Beverly Hills. And the problem is, and so health experts are saying, this is going to be a likely breeding ground for bubonic plague, typhus, which is considered like a third world, Middle Ages disease, is growing in L.A., Bubonic plague and typhus are spread by fleas carried by rats. And because of the political structure for not wanting to deal with the issues of immigration and homelessness, disease is coming in that is foreign to U.S. experience. If you go to a doctor in America, he's not likely going to say, let me just check and see if you have bubonic plague, unless you say, I've been to this other country or whatever. You know, then they start asking questions. In other words, we are being, and it could take off substantially, but here in a major U.S. city, the rats are carrying devastating third world type diseases, bubonic plague, typhus that comes with the rats, that comes with the fleas on the rats. It is amazing to me, and I want to go into the details of what's going on in terms of sanitation on the streets in San Francisco. It is the perfect situation for horrific spread of disease. On a happier note, immorality is going to be a major part of end time events. Let me read from 2 Timothy, verses 1 to 5. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Speaking in 2 Peter chapter 2, it's verses 1 and 2, describes false teachers will come. Many, verse 2, will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And it speaks of their greed, immorality. And so, I won't go a lot into this, but in Holland, in the Netherlands, more than one-fourth of the deaths are induced. More than 25% of the people who die in Holland, it's euthanasia. They're killed medically. Amanda Spielman's War on Religion. She is arguing in the name of British values for a French-style secularism being imposed on religious schools in England. Karen Pence has come under fire. She was an odd choice for English chief regulator of schools. Let's expel Christianity and morality from the British schools. The VA, Veterans Administration, is considering a bill legalizing abortion is considering a bill legalizing abortion until just before birth. I mean, there's no way you can deny that's a baby. You heard that again this year, the Virginia governor supporting infanticide of babies born alive after failed abortions. So sometimes after an abortion happens, the baby, or is attempted, the baby is born alive. What do you do with that? Many have tried to pass laws saying, well, then you protect the life of the patient, the baby. And the Virginia governor is opposed to that and says you should actively, let that baby die. What is going on? That just shows with coldness of heart the loss of love that Paul and Peter are talking about. A woman, 38, was arrested in front of her children and locked in a cell for 7 hours because she called a transgender woman a man on Twitter. So a man who claimed to be a woman, this woman said he's a man. And for that, she was put in jail because of a comment she made on Twitter. Science even is illegal. Homosexual activists are teaching judges to yank kids from parents who won't transgender them. I can't get into all the details, but it's just been stunning in the last. Have you noticed in the news? Have you seen much at all? I mean, I saw a case of a three-year-old child, and they wanted to give medications that would ruin and transform this child's life for the rest of their life. 3 years old, because the child was either a girl and they thought she'd be a boy, or vice versa. That's not medicine. That's not love. That is child abuse. And it's being enforced by courts and our system. Major U.S. airlines will soon offer passengers non-binary gender options on tickets. So you can, if you say, I'm not male or female, it's been fascinating to me. I don't know how long it's going to be before it changes. Have you noticed sometimes they will find a body in a ditch or something, and they can't identify, but they'll say, from what we can determine, this 38-year-old woman was, and I'm thinking, how long before they won't be able to say it was and we're not sure if it identified as a male or female, you know? Our world has gone exactly what is described in Romans 1. God gave them over to a mind that's not thinking clearly. That's where we are. I continue to think, they used to criticize Christians as being flat-earth anti-scientists. But our culture is absolutely flying in the face of some of the most basic science, like anatomy, in the face of a new morality. That's where we are. And Christians, because we're holding to a standard that God has revealed and God has designed, are coming under increasing hostility. Twitter had a transgender problem. Trump administration launches global effort to end criminalization of homosexuality. In India, they're investigating female feticide in 132 villages without girl births. 132 villages where, for some odd reason, girls are not being born. They're not being born because either they're aborted because they're a girl, or they're born and set aside because they're a girl. That's heartbreaking. BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, has a curriculum, I guess, for school children, and tells them there are over 100 genders. How's that for causing confusion? How's that for lying to kids? A UK charity spokeswoman was forced to resign for saying only women can have babies. Once again, I have to say, this is not Onion. This is not Babylon Bee. This is today's news. See if I can get there quickly. A spokeswoman for Doula UK, so this is a woman who helps children, ladies have babies, was forced to resign for saying that only women can have babies. Is that not? I could just imagine if I, as a child in grammar school, said something like, "Men can have babies too." Can you imagine what my teacher would have said? Take him away. Something is dreadfully wrong. Or they would have just, "You poor little boy." No. Only women have babies. This isn't hard. It is today, because a pregnant woman can say, "I'm a man." And if I can talk about something that's even more sacred, sports. women's sports is on the verge of collapsing because men are winning national and worldwide events because they claim to be a man. There was a situation you may have heard about that involved some women athletes, high school girls in Connecticut. Three of them who were hoping very much to at least place in the finals that would get them into certain lists for potential athletic scholarships were pushed out of all those positions. They couldn't make it to the finals because boys were running saying they were girls. And for that reason, the girls didn't get into finals, and it was damaging their academic career. They're suing on the basis of federal Title IX, which is supposed to protect women's sports. And they say, wait a minute, how can you say you're protecting women's sports by letting men compete as women? I mean, this is how crazy our culture has become. It's totally denying reality. As Christians, we are reality-based. There is a real God who created all things. He came and took upon himself real humanity. He really died on a cross for our sins. He really rose from the grave. And for that reason, we will be persecuted because we're the ones speaking against our culture. The family will suffer. We're told 2 Timothy 3 again, family will come under under suffering. Courts have upheld German homeschooling in Germany. Homeschooling is banned. The House Health and Human Services Committee on Thursday, February 7th, debated and ultimately killed House Bill 1205, which would have established a parent's right to refuse transitional health care for treatment of their trans children. In other words, they couldn't approve a bill that would say a parent has a right to deny this transgender medication approach that gives hormones that will devastate the life and health of a child. I saw recently in the last month the first person that a court legally allowed to change his gender, and he did a lot of these medications. He is now saying he made a horrible mistake, and he's asking the courts to revert back to the truth. Of those who claim to be transgender and take methods to change, over 80% express regret. If 80% are going to change their minds, why would you start devastating chemical treatments at 3 years old or 8 years old? How many... What loving parent would allow an 8-year-old to make a life-devastating decision? We're barely letting them in the house with the plugs that aren't covered up at that age. And you're going to let them make a decision, and the courts and our government is saying, and the parent can't stop it. You can stop them from crossing the street in front of a truck, but you can't stop them from insisting on medication that will ruin their life. I don't think I have the... I saw an article in Britain. So many were coming to a clinic and being approved for chemical and surgical treatment. 30 psychologists quit and said, this is totally absurd. There's no effort being made to help these students psychologically. They're asking for this devastating treatment, and it's being granted without any reservation. And so these psychologists are saying, we cannot be a part of an organization that does this. Canadian court rules parent can't stop 14-year-old. France wants to replace the terms mother and father with parent one and parent two on school forms. I would just like to know in my home and yours, which one gets one and who? And which one is financially responsible? But we don't want to use terms like father and mother. You look at a biblical worldview, father has theological significance. This goes back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created man in his image. Male and female, he created them in his image. So the family is going to suffer. If you've been aware of cultural turns, I shouldn't need to convince you. It's happening now. Lawlessness will increase, and I just put on there a couple of categories. Terrorism. Hasn't this been a sad couple of years? It seems like so frequently now we're hearing this shooting and that shooting. And it's easy to say, well, it's just a small thing in a small place. Devastating. Terrorism. In our country, in Europe, and elsewhere. Mass shootings. Illegal immigration is another form of lawlessness. And saying that it doesn't matter that a country wants to be able to define where its borders are and who are its legal residents, millions in America are violating that. Lawlessness will increase. Primitive warfare, I always mention, Ezekiel talks about the northern forces being on horseback and being able to burn their weapons after the war. Some have suggested that just means they're using, that's the best way Ezekiel can describe military transportation at the time. That's possible. But one of the things that I've thought might explain that is the use of these electromagnetic pulse warfare, where you use a nuclear device high in the atmosphere, sends out a pulse that's devastating to a lot of electronics. And so here was an article, China and Russia are building super EMP bombs for blackout warfare. Here's an example, depending on the altitude of the bomb, how wide one device could have an impact on America. Here's what one device could do in the Middle East. Earthquakes, haven't seen a lot of news, and that's easy for me to say. Puerto Rico's just been devastated. Most in the nation in Puerto Rico, power's out again. Now, that poor place has been just devastated. But they've had a couple of 6-plus magnitude earthquakes. But other parts have as well. Anti-Semitism is one of the characteristics. When Satan is kicked out of heaven, it says he goes after the woman who gave birth to the child in Revelation 12. The woman is Israel. The child is the Messiah, Christ. Satan hates the Jews for a couple of reasons. One, Zechariah says, Israel is the apple of God's eye. God has a special love for Israel. And if you have a special hatred for God, then you will have a special hatred for those whom he loves. So Satan hates the Jews. By the way, as a Christian, if we love God and he has a special love for the Jews, what should our attitude be towards the Jews? We should have the same heart as our Father and love the people that he loves. But Satan hates them because God loves them. Satan also hates them because they are the ones who give us our Bible and give us our Messiah. Satan also hates them because if he can destroy Israel, then God can't keep his promise of a messianic kingdom. So anti-Semitism comes from Satan, fundamentally. Why? How else can you explain centuries, millennia of hatred of a people that are relatively small? So, various articles I have. New Faces of Old Hatred, Anti-Semitism in 2018. Spreading like a poison, anti-Semitic acts on rise in France. Anti-Semitic attacks fuel continuing race hate crimes in New York. They've had lots of anti-Semitism, whether it be stabbings, vandalism. A new old reality. The Anti-Defamation League study, violence against Jews doubled last year. What's happening with anti-Semitism in New York? Here's another article. Where's all this coming from? Report, anti-Semitic harassment at U.S. college campuses hits historic levels. You know, college campuses are supposed to be liberal. They're increasingly anti-Semitic, where Jewish students feel threatened. As a matter of fact, in France, many Jews are deciding, we got to leave. That's one of the things that you grieve when you read the history of World War II. As Hitler was rising and the gates were closing that would then eventually lead to the slaughter of so many millions of Jews, you say, oh, if only they'd read the signs better and gotten out of the country. Well, Jews in France are starting to say, I don't like the look of this. We've learned from history. We're getting out of France. Europe, and they're leaving the college campuses, and anti-Semitism is on the rise. Report, Sweden. Swedish people are nice people. Sweden saw 53% spike in anti-Semitic hate crimes since 2016. Anti-Semitism is increasing in Ukraine, Poland, Hungary, and Russia, like it was in World War II. All those were areas where Jews had terrible, devastating treatment. Satan's at work, and here's just some examples. This is at a Hebrew cemetery in Fall River, Massachusetts. Writing on Jewish tombstones, expel the Jew. Here's a synagogue in Indiana. Indiana. Nazi flag and German cross graffiti on a synagogue in Indiana. Like I said, violent attacks as well. I think our last point is asteroids. The Bible talks, for example, Revelation 8, 10, and 11, talks about these bodies coming out of the sky, out of the space. When he opened verses 8, 10, and 11, then the third angel sounded, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the water became Wormwood. Many died from water because it was made bitter. So these, you know, huge asteroid-type things coming. Scientists this last year almost didn't detect a city-killer asteroid. It's been a little troubling. Okay, I watch for this kind of stuff in the news, so maybe you didn't notice. But let's see if I can get there real quickly. Alan Duffy was confused. On Thursday, the astronomers, this is an article from July 2019. Alan Duffy was confused. On Thursday, the astronomer's phone was suddenly flooded with calls from reporters wanting to know about a large asteroid that had just whizzed past Earth. He couldn't figure out why everyone was so alarmed. I thought everyone was getting worried about something we knew was coming. Duffy, who's a lead scientist at the Royal Institute of Australia, told Washington Post, forecasts had already predicted a couple of asteroids would be passing relatively close to the Earth. But then, he said, I was stunned. This was a true shock. This asteroid wasn't one the scientists had been tracking. It had apparently, seemingly appeared out of nowhere. So we have all these great astronomers, and yet, have you ever experienced where you're driving and all of a sudden, whoo, where'd that car come from? And usually we're being a little negligent. These astronomers were like, wow, where'd that asteroid come from? That was big enough to wipe out a city. And he didn't have a clue. It was news people calling him that told him, by the way, you know, we just had a near miss. And so all that to say, there are dangers out there. Some of our astronauts have been saying we need to develop a system of dealing with the asteroids before they hit us. They're talking about landing on asteroids, planting explosives, whatever it might take. How do we deal with it? Because they come hurtling through, and it doesn't take a very big one to cause a lot of damage. NASA is tracking a devastating 230 kiloton asteroid that could hit Earth in May 2022. It's 2.5 years out. And if it did hit, again, it could be devastating. Let me see if I have... It's known as a near-Earth object. Let's see. Anyway, they're very concerned about the damage it could do. despite the asteroid's terrifying dimensions and breakneck pace, the odds of an impact are fairly low. NASA believes there's a 1 in 3,800 odds the asteroid will hit the Earth. The odds are good it won't hit. But then again, they've been surprised that these things come out of nowhere. So here's a picture of what something could look like that would not be good for our world. So the Bible says they're going to be hit by some space objects at the end time. So just a couple of last thoughts as we bring it all together. Purification, prayer, proclamation. Purification. John says, he who has this hope, the hope of the return of Christ, purifies himself as he is pure. In other words, if we believe we're going to be standing before Jesus Christ, perhaps before the end of the day, that should have a purifying effect on us. And if we truly had in our mindset, today could be the day, it would put in order the things that we maybe think are important that aren't, and cause us to think about, am I ready to stand before Christ and talk about my life? Prayer. Jesus taught us pray. Thy kingdom come. We should be praying. When we see a world increasingly in rebellion, when we see our world going crazy in its values and thinking, we should be praying. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we need you to reign over this world because we're doing a terrible job. In fact, you know, John, that's how he closes the book of Revelation. He sees its terrible judgments involved, but then he says, even so, come Lord Jesus. So we should pray. And I have that on good advice, right? Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And proclamation, preaching. 1 Thessalonians 4, it's talking about the rapture. Comfort one another with these words. Our hope in Scripture, we're not living in a hopeless world. We have a hope we can share with others. We should be faithful, too, in helping people know the Christ who's coming back. This world is heading into some difficult times. And if we love people, we should be pointing them to a Savior so they'll have the strength to get through the stormy seas, and so that they'll be assured a safe harbor on the other side. Also, you'd be surprised at how many people have come to a saving faith in Christ when they heard biblical prophecy and started understanding God's at work. And they could see what the Bible says about end times is making sense. And so that has driven many, many a person to the Lord through the understanding of prophecy. Well, I hope this helps you. I don't say these things to scare or to entertain, but I say these things to give us a hope and set our course and be reminded that God is in control and God has a plan, and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, when we see a world that is increasingly gone astray, we thank you that we can trust that all things are in your hands. You have a plan, you have a purpose. And Lord, may we keep our eyes focused on you. We do pray, Father, in the midst of all that it might involve, still we ask, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We ask, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.